Good morning, people, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to see you all. Thanks very much for taking the time to come down this morning and last night, if you came down last night. And big up for Ballymoney. Must be the best place in all the world. So if you're from Ballymoney, there's one, two, three, four, there's about five or six of us. So it's the best place in all. If you've never been, you need to get to Ballymoney. I know there's a Ballymoney just along the road. It's not that one. It's the better one up north. Okay. What I want to do today is sort of quite a simple thing in many ways. I want to look at four words in the Bible, okay? And we'll try and look at two words in this session, and then one in the second session, and one in the third session. I tried to get mnemonics for them, and I couldn't really get one. So your four words... Spell that. So I don't know how you pronounce that. I pronounced it fidget. So we're going to look at fidgets today, okay? So that's their four words, and we're going to try and look at F and J at this bit in our day together. Has everybody got a Bible? I think most folk have got a Bible. There's a pile of Bibles up here. If you need a Bible, you can take one. Now, I'm reading from the King James Version. Not because I think it's an amazing version, just because I'm older than most of you here. Not all of you, some people here older than me. So we're going to read, first of all, from Genesis. If you could turn to Genesis. And I want you to think what this word could be, this F word could be, whenever we're working through this. Remember, folks, if you have any questions when I'm speaking, just put your hand up or shout out. Or look puzzled. If you look puzzled, I'll try and go over the thing again. Okay? So if you're happy with everything, try and keep a smile on your face. Because if you look puzzled, I'll think you don't understand things. Genesis chapter 15. Now, this is an event in the life of a man called Abraham. His name was Abram at the time. And that's an interesting thing. His name was Abram. And we're going to read this event in his life, and then we're going to read in the New Testament what Paul says about it. Okay, does that make sense? So, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Now, Abram means exalted father. Okay, now that in itself is a strange thing. Anybody tell me why it's a strange thing? I'll tell you, okay, because you're so full of energy this morning. It's a strange thing because he didn't have any children. So his name was Exalted Father and he didn't have any kids. It's like calling me Ronaldo. Okay? My expertise with a football. But he says, he came on to Abram in a vision, Exalted Father in a vision. He said, fear not, Exalted Father. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Abram thought, you know, I don't have any heir. I don't have anybody after me. The only person I have in my house is my servant. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Any clues? Come on, guys. What's the word we're thinking about? Do you know? Right, nobody knows. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 4, please. And this is a giveaway. You'll know now after this, Romans chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 16 now. Paul is teaching us something in Romans chapter 4, and he's using what happened all those years ago to illustrate his point. Okay? So, Romans chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul says this, therefore it is of faith spare a clue. But we'll keep on going. That it might be by grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Look at verse 18. This is talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that's God, what God had promised, God was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not imputed, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. Okay, a tic-tac. Anybody like a tic-tac for... I don't have tic-tacs, actually. A tic-tac for anybody who can tell me the word that we're looking at. Shout out, somebody.
Faith.
Faith, yes. There is one person, that's a way. Okay, so, faith. Now, you folk on my left-hand side won't see this whiteboard, okay? Because my belly's in the way. You can come round afterwards and we'll see, have a look at it. Okay, so we're going to look at faith for the first half of our little session here. Do you think faith's important? Yeah, massively important. Okay, absolutely essential to get to a proper biblical understanding of what faith actually is. So many Christians, and even people who are not Christians, have a false understanding of what faith is. And because of their false understanding of what faith is, it leads them into problems and difficulties in their Christian life. So what I would like to do is think about what faith is. How did you start your Christian life? You started it with faith. Faith in Christ. There was a moment in your life when you realised that without Jesus Christ, you're going to be in hell because of your sin. But you turned and you trusted Christ. And the first day of your Christian life started with faith. Okay? Now, as you read the Bible, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says that not only did we start our Christian life with faith, but we continue our Christian life with faith. Paul says there, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith that finds its object in the Son of God. Okay, so we are saved by faith, we live by faith, and there's a verse in Hebrews 11 that says, these all died in faith. So faith's important, yeah? Faith's crucial, absolutely essential. So it's important to understand what faith is. Now, to understand what faith is, I think it's important to understand what faith isn't. Okay, does that make sense? So, number one, I was going to write these up, but you can put them in your head, okay? Number one, faith is not complicated. Okay? Sometimes you read things in the Bible and it's like, faith, oh, I don't know what that means. And you don't want to ask anybody because it's like, oh, I can't ask people what that means because it's quite a simple thing. And everybody else says it's so simple, but it's actually really complicated to me. It is not a complicated thing, okay? Number one, it's not complicated. Number two, faith, folks, is not wishful thinking. Okay? I will testify to the fact that for years I thought faith was wishful thinking. So you haven't studied for your exam, or you haven't done your homework. Do you know what? I'm 43 nearly-ish, and I still have nightmares. Not nightmares, I think it's a bit of a strong word. I still have dreams about not doing my maths homework. Mr. Spence, and I'm sitting in his class, and he's asked me for my maths homework, and I still haven't got it done. And you wake up and you go, oh, I'm glad I'm 42. And I don't have... So, what was I on? That was a, yes, wishful thinking. Sometimes in Christian experience, and it's, we all do it, I think we all do it, you want something so much, or you think that faith is wanting something, and really, really wanting it. If I really, really believe I will have this thing, then I will have it. Okay? Have you ever thought that's what faith is? Faith is really, really, really believing it, that I'm going to have this. And somebody else gets it because they've had more faith than you. They've really, really believed it more than you have. So you haven't done any revision whatsoever at all, and you come to your exam, and you really, 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 really believe you're going to pass your exam, and you don't, and you go, I hadn't enough faith. And the problem wasn't faith, the problem was you didn't revise. Yeah? So faith is not wishful thinking. That's a simple illustration, but there are many Christians who have lived into their 30s and 40s and 50s and think that's what faith is. And it doesn't happen. That's not faith. Okay, number three, faith is not just for some Christians. Okay, to live a life of faith, folks, is not just for people who are missionaries. So you read about a missionary here, about a missionary, and there's missionaries here, and they have went out in faith, or they're living by faith. And you go, wow, they're living by faith. That's not me, I'm just Joe Bloggs, I'm just normal. Is it Joe Bloggs in Ireland, or is it Joe Bloggs? Yeah. So, or Joe Murphy, or whoever it is. So that's, I'm just normal punter, okay? But these, we'll call him Peter. But these guys are up there. Okay? They're living by faith. I'll never reach that. That is not biblical. That's not a biblical understanding of faith. In fact, the Bible says all of us, in the same way, should be living by faith. Okay? Whether you're at school, whether you're a mummy with 40 wins, whatever you are, you should be living by faith as a Christian. Number four, faith is not something you need when there's no facts. Okay? Now, a lot of atheists will tell you that. You need faith because you don't have any facts. You need faith because you have no evidence. You need faith because you have no evidence of God, so you need faith. And faith makes it real. Okay? Faith makes it real to you. That is not biblical faith. Faith is not something you need when you don't have facts. Faith is something you have in facts. Faith is something you have because there is evidence. Okay? Does that make sense? So, faith, actually, the foundation of faith is always evidence. Always evidence. Number five, faith is not a single event in the life of a Christian. So, when did you place faith in Christ? Oh, it was the 24th of August, 1974. You go, wow, that's amazing. That's not it. That's not faith. And that's where faith started. Yes, but that's not the idea of faith. You don't look back to when that was my moment of faith. Faith happens every day. I'm going backwards. It starts here. So faith happens every day from then, doesn't it? The 24th of August, 1974 is when you started to have faith in Christ, but it happens every day after that. Okay, and lastly, faith is not feelings. Hands up, all of you, or hands up, those of you who always feel you're saved. Matthew at the back, he's writing. Do you ever feel you're saved, Matthew? Do you feel today, I feel saved, there's something, I feel it, it's amazing. Sometimes you maybe do. Does it happen all the time? No. In fact, hands up, everybody who sometimes feels they're not. There's one or two that always feel they are, then that's okay. Because there are, we don't always feel that we are linked with God. We don't always feel that we are in communication with eternity. We don't always feel that. But that's feelings. That's not faith. Okay? So, there's just a few sort of what faith isn't. So, what is faith then? If this is such an important thing, and we need to go through a wee bit quicker. What is faith then? Paul doesn't give us, the Bible doesn't give us a definition per se of faith. You might think there are some, but there's not an accurate definition of faith. In fact, what we get is this story about faith, okay, in the Bible. Abram, what does Abram mean? Exalted father, but he didn't have any children. And then one night, he had a night with the stars. Somebody said that, I thought that's very good, very funny. So he had a night with the stars, and he came out, and God brings him out one night. And he says, look at the heaven. Look at the stars. I am going to make your offspring, your family after you, as many as the stars in the heavens. Okay? What did Abraham do? Dear man, say, that is totally impossible. That is rubbish. That can't happen. Like, I'm nearly 100. That can't happen. No, he didn't say that. He says, God, if you said it, that's good enough for me. If you said it, I'll believe it. So he believes it. God spoke to him, and he believes it. And then God gives him another name. Okay? His name was called Abram, or Abram, exalted father. And then God gives him another name, Abraham, which means father of a multitude. You can imagine, you are one of the servants in Abraham's vast farm. Probably was like a moving farm that he owned. And Abraham comes to you one morning and says, do you know what, Peter, my name's changed. Yeah, I said, this old guy, that's a wee bit funny. You know, he's been called Exalted Father all these years, but his name's changed. He had a funny experience sometime, and he's now told me his name is Father of a Multitude. You go, that's quite sad. That's quite sad for the old man, because he doesn't have any youngsters. And he's living this dream thing. And you say to him, why are you calling yourself that? Well, because God spoke to me. God spoke to you. God spoke to me and told me I'm going to have so many children. That's all you have. Yes, that's all I have. God spoke to me. So that's what faith is. When you come to the New Testament, Paul says that's what faith is. So point number one. Now get this, folks. Okay? It's very simple. And you probably know these three lessons anyway. And if you do, clap yourself in the back. Good. But point number one, faith. Faith is a personal confidence in God and his word. Okay? That's what faith is. Faith is a personal confidence in God and his word. Okay. Look what it says in Romans chapter 4. I hope you have your study of Bible open. Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 17. So Abraham believed. Look, verse 17 says, before him whom he believed, even God. So Abraham believed God. So his faith was directed toward God. Look at verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So God spoke something. God said something, and Abraham believed it. So it was a confidence in God and in the word of God. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God. So God made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham believed it. You might think that's quite simple and straightforward, but that's a massive thing. Faith is a personal confidence in God and in the word of God. Okay? So when Abraham came back from his night with the stars and came to Sarah the next morning and said, Sarah, we're going to have many, many children. She says, how do you know? I really feel it inside. That's what a feeling I had last night. Amazing feeling. I feel all bubbly. And it's like a warmth kind of over me. Oh, and I just know we're going to have children. He said, say, you're away with the fairies. So he didn't say that. What did he say? Well, did he come and say, Sarah, we're going to have children because I really believe it. Yeah, we're going to have it. We're going to have children. No. He said, Sarah, we're going to have children because God said it. God said it. That's it. That's it. Nothing else. If God hadn't said it, Abraham couldn't believe it. Because God said it, Abraham believed it. Now, it was a personal thing. Imagine if Lot, you've all heard of Lot, yes, Abraham's nephew. So Lot comes running in, into the tent. Sarah, I'm going to have many, many children. It's like, oh, that's a bit weird. That's what Abraham said. Yeah, but I was there and I heard God speaking to Abraham. And God said to Abraham, you're going to have many, many children. So that must mean I'm going to have them too. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? No. Why? Because the word was to who? The word was to Abraham. It wasn't to Lot. Okay? That's important. We're going to look at it in order to. The word was to you. It was a personal thing. God's word was to Abraham. You're going to have them. And Abraham believed. Now, this is where it comes into normal Christian living. What things can you think about that Christians can think they have faith about, but there's no word of God about it? Does that make sense? It's a bit of a long sentence. 11:20 in the morning. What sort of things can we have faith? So I have faith in, I'll give you an example. I have faith I'm going to pass my exams. Right, what's wrong with that sentence? Somebody shout out. What's wrong with that sentence? I have faith I'm going to pass my exams. Now, what we have learned, what's wrong with that?
God didn't say it.
Wherever in the Bible, that's amazing. You need a TikTok. Wherever in the Bible has God said you're going to pass your exams? Tell me. Ever? Has God ever said to you, I got a really bubbly feeling inside. Oh, that's a really funny feeling. I'm going to pass my exam. Don't say that. The only way you can have faith that you're going to pass your exams is if God has said you will pass your exams. David. These wee stickers are good. Is it David?
Yeah.
I can even read. That's good. You're going to pass the exams. So, here's another thing. I have faith that I'm going to be rich. Tell me that. So, the same answer. Why can that not happen? Why is that not faith? Because God hasn't said it. Has God ever said in the Bible to you that you're going to be rich? No. No, it hasn't. Now, he's told other people are going to be rich in the Bible, not you. He's told other folk, we're going to look at that in a minute or two. So, I really have faith that I'm going to have a wonderful day today. So, I got up and I'm going to pray in my quiet time, and I'm going to say, Lord, I have faith I'm going to have such a great day today. It's going to be wonderful. Has God promised you that today's going to be wonderful? Well, in one sense, he has. But this kind of happy day, everything's going to go well and great, great and wonderful. Has God ever said that to you? Can you ever read that in the Bible? Dear Johnny, every day is going to be wonderful in your Christian life. Believe that. No. Can you see that? See, can you maybe start to see how this affects my Christian living? What faith is? Has God ever said to you, you're going to have a wonderful family? No. Has God ever said to you, your parents are going to divorce? No. I really believe, I hope they don't. I trust you, God, and I really believe that, but God hasn't said that. Okay? And your girl, she's in heaven now. And somebody came to her and said to her, she was dying with cancer, and said to her, if you believe God, if you have enough faith, God will make you better. Is that biblical? If you have enough faith, God will heal you. Is that biblical? No. Wherever in the Bible was this girl told that God would heal her? But the sad thing is, she listened to that person. And she spent the last few years of her life thinking she didn't have enough faith. Tragic. As a Christian, if I just had more faith, God would heal me. Folks, that's the message that so many teachers are teaching today. If you have enough faith, the whole world will change, and amazing things will happen to you. You will get rich, you will be this and that, you will never be sick. You will. That is not biblical. You will be bombarded with that. Even in our modern songs, Christian songs, you get a lot of that. So, tell me then, folks, what sort of things can we have faith in? Okay? Can I have faith in this, that he will never leave me? Can I wake up in the morning and pray and say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know what's in your hands, but I'll tell you something, I know this. He will never leave me. He will never leave me. Can you believe that? Yeah, why? Because God says it. In fact, he said it to you. You put yourself in the place of Hebrews when it says, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. You can believe that. Can you believe that no matter what happens today, if you've trusted Christ, you're going to go to heaven? That you're safe? Yeah? Your family breaks up, are you safe? Yep. You get ill, are you safe? You're going to go to heaven? Yeah. Why? Because he said it. He said it. Okay. How then is it, folks? How is it? I hope that isn't too boring. How is it that you can grow in faith? How can you grow in faith? Think through that. How can you grow in faith if faith needs the Word of God to exist? Biblical faith needs the Word of God to exist. How do you then grow in faith? How do you become strong in faith? By what? I know you all know it. I'm being ever so modest. By knowing more of the Word of God. Yeah? Turn to Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way true faith can be in your heart is if you know the Word of God. You can't have faith any other way. So if you want to be a faithful Christian, if you want to grow in faith, if you want to live a life of faith, that's exactly what we should be aiming at as believers, then we have to have an increased understanding of worship songs. No. The Word of God. Do we need an increased understanding of the latest prairie Christian novel of a wee family in the prairies living happily ever after? That might be nice for you guys to read. I don't know what you ladies read, but you guys, I don't know if you read that stuff. Sorry. But if that's your wee thing for a wee hobby, that's grand. But that will not generate biblical faith. That does not make you a stronger Christian. What makes you a stronger Christian? Stronger faith, the Word of God. Because faith needs the word before it can exist. Okay, turn to, in fact, I'll just read it out to you. 1 Kings chapter 9. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 9. Don't turn to it. Listen to this. So, one morning, you get up and you're feeling a bit sorry of yourself and you have a wee quiet time and you pray, Lord, I want a word from the Lord today. I need something. And you read this, 1 Kings 9 and 5. And God said, I will establish your throne over Israel forever. What? I didn't think that. I thought it was just going to be a normal day. Do you see, some people actually can go into the Bible and take a promise and suck it out of its context and say it's mine. It's nothing to do with it. God said to David, I will establish your throne. Didn't say to you, no matter how amazing you think you are or how royal and dignified you think you are, you will not be king over Israel forever. Okay, that is not for you. Okay, listen to this other one. Isaiah 38 verse 5. So, you, again, it's maybe evening time this time. Evening time, a bit of a sniffle, a bit of a flu that day. and you kind of think, oh, I don't feel great. Let's have my wee read tonight, and you read Isaiah 38 and 5. And those of you who know Isaiah 38 and 5 will know what I'm going to say. Yeah? Okay, probably you don't know it. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, I will add unto your days 15 years. What? I'm only 18. That'll take me up to what? 30 odd. That's not great, like. Is that right? 32 or something like that. But we do that, don't we? Christians do that. You suck a promise out of the Bible that was made for Hezekiah, and you go, that's for me. No, it's not for you. You have to get the promises in the Word that are for you. Now, you can learn from Hezekiah. Absolutely. That promise isn't for you. So, it's a personal faith, is a personal confidence in God and in His Word. Now, this jet of the fidget thing, that's important, okay? Because we're going to look at what this and this means, and for you to live in the good of it, you have to just simply believe it. You have to take God at His Word. If you're not prepared as a Christian to take God at His Word, you'll never understand the joy of JIT. Okay? Joy of JIT. Okay. So, number one, faith is a personal confidence in God and His Word. Number two, let me take you through this quickly. In spite of, it's a personal confidence in God and His Word. In spite of your name here, I'm not great with writing. In spite of everything else, in spite of everything that says otherwise, Abraham is 100. Can he have kids? No. Sarah was 90 odd. Can she have kids? No. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work. Biologically, it doesn't work. Physically, it doesn't work. It's not going to happen. And yet what Abraham did, the Bible says that Abraham considered not his own body now dead. What he did in his mind, he took all the reasons why this can't happen, all the reasons why this can't be, put it on one side. Okay? This is impossible. And then took God's word and put it on the other side. And looked at it. And it went like this. Because he had confidence in God's word. It didn't actually matter all the other stuff that said this can't happen. Okay? All the other stuff that says it's impossible, Abraham, it didn't make Abraham disbelieve God. You know why? Because for Abraham, the greatest evidence was God's word. That was the proof. The proof was the word of God. Logic said otherwise. Everything else said otherwise. But God said it, so we'll have to believe it. Okay? Remember, the disciples, they were crossing the river, or they're crossing the sea, and Jesus says it, start Mark chapter 4, says, behold, we go to the other side. We go to the other side. That's what Jesus said. Okay? And they're in the middle of the sea, and all these wind and wave, everything happened, and they're like, this is, we're going to go down here. Okay? What does the Lord say to them? O ye of little faith. Faith? Faith? The place was like, the whole place they rocked it, we're going to die. He says, O ye of little faith. Why? Because he had said, we're going to the other side. Then Mark, what's going to happen? They're going to reach the other side. See, when your feelings tell you, I'm talking to people who are saved, when your feelings tell you that you're not right with God, when your feelings tell you that you are at a distance from God, you have to take your feelings and weigh them up against the Word of God, and you have a choice every day in Christian life to believe something. Are you going to trust your feelings or trust the Word of God? He says, you're near me, you're accepted. You're loved. You're kept. You're in my family. I don't feel like I'm in his family. Life's a disaster. I don't feel it. You have a choice. You've got to live by faith, or you're not going to live by faith. Okay? So living by faith is not, folks, get this in your mind. I thought this was a wee boy, I thought this was what it was. Living by faith is one day deciding to give up your job and miraculously wait for money to come from heaven every day to feed you. That might be for some people, but not for the most of us. That's not necessarily living by faith. Living by faith is living by what God has said. I'm believing it and living in the good of it. Okay. So point number three, and now we'll have a wee break for 30 seconds or something. So a personal confidence in God and his word, in spite of everything else, because of who God is. Okay. How is it that you can believe that? How can you believe the impossible? It's because of who God is. He said it. And there's two things about God that in these verses, chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Look at verse 17. Have I got black all over my face? It's all over my hand. Right, okay. I just didn't want you to be laughing at me. On Julie. Okay. Look at verse 17. He's talking about God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Why did Abraham believe in God? Because God can raise the dead. God can do the impossible. God has said, you trust my son, I'll take you to heaven. You go, I know there was a time I believed that, and I just don't feel that that's where I'm going. Just things are so hard. Does he love me? God can do the impossible. He can raise the dead, no matter what he says about you. If he says it to you, or about you, or for you, it's true. You've got to believe it, even though you don't think you should believe it. Okay? Abraham knew who God was and who God is. And so when God gave him an impossible promise, Abraham just simply said, okay, God, I believe you. And he lived in the good of it. He had a smile on his face. A week later, Abraham, you're very jolly. I know I'm jolly. A jolly, jolly old chap. Why are you happy, Abraham? Why are you happy? Because God said a week ago, I'm going to have many, many children. A year later, Abraham, you are still smiling. Why are you still smiling? Do you have any children yet? No. Why are you still smiling? Because God said. But Abraham, time's moving on. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work. He says it. I believe it. And that settles it. Okay, folks? So, how would you help somebody if they come to you and says, look, I really, really believe that God will help me pass all my exams. God will make me pass my exams. How do you help somebody like that? Your fellow Christian. You think it goes, you go like, that's not going to work. And you go, I know. It's hard, isn't it? How do you really help somebody like that? You have to say to them, well, hold on a wee minute. Where does God say he's going to help you pass your exams? He doesn't say that. What he does say is, no matter if you pass or fail, he'll never leave you. I tell you, that's far better. That's far better. When somebody says to you, I don't know if any of you got businesses. There's one who's got a business. Very good. Entrepreneur. Very good. A few of your businesses, I really believe God will make my business succeed. I was talking to a man. This is a Christian who's been saved for years. He said to me, Paul, I don't believe what just happened. A year ago, I got a promise from God that within 1 year, my business turnover would increase. And it's a year down the line, and he hasn't kept his promise. You know what you feel like doing? You feel like slapping the guy in the face. Honestly, you're like, what are you doing? That is not Christianity. What is that? I don't know what that is. That is not how you live your Christian life. He made up a promise that he had a funny feeling about, that he read something about a year and an increase or something, A year later, you shall have increase. And you go, that's me. That's my business. That's it. That's not it. It wasn't to him. It wasn't about his business. He took it, believed it. When it didn't happen, he says, God failed me. That's disaster. You have an aunt, a great aunt, Jemima, haven't you? Mm-hmm. Haven't you? So we all have a great aunt, Jemima. And she needs to be in a home, but she actually, she's out, she's in a wee house herself, and she's always out on the bike. It's a disaster, she's on the bike all the time. Yeah, she needs to get in a home, love. You should be on your bicycle. She's out on her bicycle, and one day, bang. Comes down a clatter, breaks her hip, breaks her knee, busts her knee, and she's in the hospital. And you're praying for her. Somebody comes to you and says, the Lord told me that your Aunt Jemima's going to get better. What do you do? You might not think, I don't know, if you've seen these things, you will get come across people like this. The Lord told me your Aunt Jemima's going to get better. You have to say to her, well, excuse me, first of all, can you show me where God said that? Now, if they come and say, the Lord told me that the Lord is with your Aunt Jemima, because he's a Christian, he would say, praise the Lord, because it's in the book. But all this other stuff, brothers and sisters, can I remind you, a lot of it is rubbish. It's destructive, and it takes away from the authority of the Word of God. Right, so our 3 points. Faith is a personal confidence in God and his Word, in spite of everything that says to the contrary, because of who God is. Is that alright? Right, we'll take a 45 second break, because we have a wee quiz to do now. So, chill out, relax, take a breath. And I need 2 men. No, that's a bit genderist. I need 2 people who are reasonably intelligent, who don't mind getting slagged, who don't mind getting slagged a bit, who don't mind standing up here at the front and then getting a bit embarrassed, if you don't mind. So 2 people, could be anybody. But there's a reward for it. The reward for choosing and delegating yourself will radically, radically, folks, change your life forever. You get €10, okay? €10. So have a wee think about it. Have a wee time of prayer about it, and then we'll go back. 2 minutes. Just take a wee break. 2 minutes.